Reading of the scripture this morning will be taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, and I will read verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without murmuring, according as each hath received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were the oracles of God, if any man ministereth, ministering as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to where Mark just read for us, 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're using the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1016, 1 Peter 4. We're going to be looking at these verses in detail this morning as we continue our series about service. Before we get to the lesson this morning, I did say that there's a number of announcements I especially wanted to highlight this morning. And so if you'll pay close attention to these, because quite a few of them are very important. First of all, when worship is over this morning, I would like to have a very brief meeting with parents of those who are in our teenage Bible classes, both on Sundays and Wednesdays. We'll just meet up here briefly. Don't need to have the teenagers here, just the parents, brief meeting, and we'll get you out pretty quickly after that. So that will be as soon as worship is over, and I'll probably do a little bit of greeting, but we'll be up here at the front of the auditorium just very quickly. Also, next Sunday is the deadline for signing up for our family retreat, church family retreat. For all people of all ages, backgrounds, walks of life, even for your friends, some of you have asked me if you could invite others. That's certainly welcomed as well, but we need to know who is attending by next Sunday, so that's the deadline for registration, and it's actually going to be 2 weeks from now. The family retreat that we have in Baileyton, registration forms are in the hallway. You can also sign up through our website. You can also come just for Saturday. If you don't want to stay overnight on Friday night and Saturday night, you can come just for the sessions on Saturday. And Dell Jenkins is an excellent speaker, excellent preacher, and I know that everything he'll have to share with us will be a great encouragement, but we'll also have a lot of fun along the way as well. So please be sure, if you haven't registered, to get those to us by next Sunday. If you have any questions, you can see me. In the newsletter is an overview of a new outreach effort we're doing as far as getting food boxes to people in our community. I'm not going to go over all the details, but they're in the newsletter. Please read that. There's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. If you haven't signed up yet, please be sure to do so. The deadline for signing up for that is also next Sunday as well, so our food outreach effort. And now I want to highlight a couple things we're doing tonight. Some of you know, most of our members know this, that this past week, actually it started last Sunday. Last Sunday, our collection for that day went entirely to Port Allen Church of Christ in Louisiana, who we've been a long supporter of, Eddie Payne and the work of the church there. Some of you might not know this, but on Monday morning, Josh Fry and Tom Montgomery and myself went to Port Allen. We delivered the check with our own hands. But we also gave a couple of days of work to the flood relief efforts there. And it was a great week. I'm not going to tell you all about it right now because I'm going to tell you about it tonight. So please come back tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening worship. There will be some pictures, and we'll tell you what all took place and what all is going there and what's going to be taking place for quite some time to come. But I can tell you this, it was just a great week for Tom and Josh and myself. And it fits in very well with the series we're doing right now. And so does one other thing we're doing tonight. After worship, we're going to have a going away party for Austin Whitelaw. Austin leaves tomorrow for basic training in Illinois. He's going to be entering the service through the Navy. And we commend him for that, and we wish him well. But we also want to, for one last time for a while, just spend some time with him and send him off. Everybody's asked to bring finger foods for that. Cake will be provided, so please be sure to join us tonight. It'll be a special time as we talk about Port Allen and send Austin off. But both Port Allen and Austin, we use the word service, and that's what this series has been about. The past couple of weeks, or the first two lessons in this series. The first week we looked at Galatians chapter 5, where Paul, when he talks about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit, one thing that we often miss in that passage is that he says we have been freed from sin. We have been freed from the works of the flesh to do one thing primarily, and that is to serve one another in love. We've been freed from sin in order to serve. And maybe some people still are trapped by sin, even though they've already become Christians, because they haven't seen the other side of what that freedom is, and that is serving one another in love. Last week we looked at John chapter 12, where Jesus speaks to some Greeks. This is his first and last time to come across these people. And the one thing that he tells them, in just this brief exchange between Jesus and these Greek worshipers during Passover week in Jerusalem, Jesus says that ultimately the purpose of life, the purpose of his life as he was sent here from the Father, but also the purpose of all of our lives, the reason why we are here, it is fulfilled, it is found in serving, in giving ourselves to something bigger than ourselves, and finding the eternal purpose that God has given us. And so for the past couple of lessons, I've tried to lay a foundation of the concept of service, why God has given it to us, and what it's all about. But this morning, I want us to consider, you know, if service is that important, well, how do we go about serving? What kinds of service can we render? And especially in the context of the church, how do we serve one another? How do we view our service? And next week, we'll conclude this series by putting it in even more practical terms within the church. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Peter there, in writing to Christians, by the way, one other thing I didn't mention is we have just started new Bible classes today for the fall quarter. This coming Wednesday, I'm going to start a new series based on the book of 1 Peter. We're going to be looking at this entire book in detail. But I've called the class In Times Like These because it's obvious that the Christians in the first century that Peter is writing to are going through some tough times, some difficult times. A lot of Christians today feel like we're going through tough and difficult times and aren't quite sure about what direction the world's going in, what direction our nation is going in. Well, 1 Peter is written with the same kind of thought in mind. Peter, in writing to the church, one of the things he's going to tell them, if you look at verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, above all, with everything that he's going to say in this great letter, there's something in particular he wants them to get. He says, above all, there are some things we need to be doing. And here's what he says in verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. In those 2.5 verses there, 3 times Peter says, one another. The first thing that he highlights in our service is our shared service. Point number one, your shared, our shared service. And the terms one another mean these are expected of all of us. These aren't exclusive terms for some people. This isn't based on ability or talent or giftedness. This is something in which we are all to be participants and of which God has expectations for all of us. Those of us who've put on Christ, those of us who call ourselves Christians. There is a service, there are services we're to be rendering to one another no matter who we are. I said already that it's not based on talent, it's not based on giftedness. We'll get to some of that in a moment. Recently, over the past few months on social media, there's been a graphic floating around. Every so often on Facebook, I'll see somebody who will post this graphic. It's going to be the next slide. 10 things that require zero talent. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with spiritual stuff, but it's got a lot of good thoughts to it. 10 things that have nothing to do with how talented or how gifted you are. You can be on time. You can have a work ethic. You can put in effort. Your body language, that's not about talent, even though some of us might be challenged by that. The amount of energy we invest in something, our attitude, our passion, whether or not we're able to be coached, whether or not we're willing to do extra, and being prepared. You look through that list and everybody says, you know what, they're right. Now, some of us might struggle with some of these. There's some of these I struggle with. But when I really think about them, none of these take talent, do they? I can do each one of these things on this list. I might need to change my mindset a little bit. I might have to have a different disposition about some of these things, but these things take zero talent. Well, I want to put a spin on this based on 1 Peter chapter 4. There's three acts that Peter says here that require zero talent, because he says one another. He doesn't say, I'm making this exclusive to a select group of people. He says one another. Above all, do these things. The first thing he says in verse 8, above all, keep loving one another. Now, I like the way it's phrased there. Keep loving. That implies that they were loving one another. But he says, keep loving one another. Agape love. Sacrificial love. Putting somebody else's interest above my own. Putting them first. It's interesting how he finishes that phrase. Since love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes my attitude towards other people's sins. Sometimes my mindset of the solution to your sin is that you just need to be perfect. That's a good solution, isn't it? You know, if you would just be perfect, we wouldn't have the difficulties in our relationships. But I want us to ask ourselves a question. Is that the way Jesus viewed his relationships with people? If you would just be perfect, then I'll be able to love you. Then we'll be good. No, Jesus forgave. Jesus demonstrated love. Yes, there were times where he exhorted and corrected people in their sins. But to Jesus, the solution to sin wasn't everybody else be made perfect. It was that in his perfection, he died in order that we might be forgiven. Now, take that mindset and think about us and our relationships, how we can serve one another. Can we all love one another in the sense that we can be willing to forgive? And I'm not saying condone gross negligence when it comes to spiritual things. But I'm talking about being willing to recognize that we're all imperfect. We all have things about ourselves that bug one another. I've got things about myself that bug me, that I want to change. And I still struggle and wrestle with. And yeah, there's things about you that bug me sometimes too. But the only way that we're going to be able to coexist is what? We got to love. And the ultimate expression of that love is being able to forgive. Having a forgiving spirit. Being patient, long-suffering, working with one another. But some people say, you know, Oscar over here, Oscar's a loving guy. That's his gift. That's his talent. Well, Oscar might be good at loving, but I'm here to tell you this. According to 1 Peter 4:8, love and forgiveness, those are not talents. Those require zero talent. Those are expectations of every follower of Jesus. And so is the next thing. Verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Men, I'm going to pick on us for just a minute. Here's how we often read this verse. Christian women, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's not in my Bible. Is it in your Bible? Do you know men can be hospitable? Now, ladies, let me pick on you. Sometimes when women read this verse, you know what they read? Ladies, be able to give a good dinner party to one another without grumbling. Is that hospitality? Well, that's a form of hospitality. But is that all hospitality is about? No. We have so, of all the things in the New Testament that we have just sort of pushed to the side and forgotten and act like it's not that big of a deal, hospitality is high up on that list. And to be hospitable doesn't mean you've got to be able to throw a good dinner party. It doesn't mean you've got to have 30 people over to your house once a month to have some sort of big programmed event. Hospitality means we serve and take care of one another. Now, sometimes it might mean I have some people over to my house, but guess what? And listen, Caroline and I struggle with this just as anybody else in this day and age. But your and my houses do not have to be perfect in order to have somebody over to our house. We act like we got to put on airs and put on this big show in order to practice hospitality. Hospitality takes on many forms and fashions. Sometimes it's sharing our homes with people. Sometimes it's taking food to people in need, whether it's our sick, our shut-in, those recovering from surgery, those who've recently had a baby, or just to be nice. Sometimes you don't even have to have a reason to be hospitable. Can you imagine that? Sometimes it's just going to visit somebody to check on them. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a whole lot more. But no matter who you are, no matter how great of a cook you are, we have all been told to show hospitality to one another. And then there's that magic phrase at the end of this verse, without grumbling. You think Peter knew something about human nature? Do you think there were Christians in the first century who ever, that church, they got to have somebody make some food again. Or that church, they expect me to go visit people in the hospital. Or somebody needs a ride. Who needs a ride in 2016? Well, 2,000 years ago, people had needs too, didn't they? And obviously some people sometimes were tempted, why does somebody always need me? Why is there always something that needs to be done around here with these Christians? Peter says, if you're a follower of Jesus, by the way, can you imagine Jesus being like that? If you're a follower of Jesus, show hospitality, show care, be a servant, meet somebody's needs. It takes zero talent. Yes, it takes some talent to be an extraordinary cook, okay? I've known some extraordinary cooks who it just sort of came to them. But it doesn't take talent to be hospitable in your own way, to do something kind, to serve, to look after somebody, to have somebody in your home, to take somebody out to eat, to give somebody a ride. The list goes on and on. You see somebody who needs something, practice hospitality, especially among your church family. It's one of the reasons why we exist. And then finally in verse 10, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Well, that brings us to point number two, because he's going to transition here. We are all to serve one another. That is something that nobody's excluded from, because we've all become stewards of some sort of service. Point number two, your stewardship of service. Here's how the verse ends. I'll read the verse again. Verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. Now listen to this. Of God's varied grace. You mean God's grace is different between Christians? God's grace differs, it changes from person to person? You know what the answer to that question is? Yeah. Now, I'll say it this way. God's grace to everyone is unique to each one. God has demonstrated His grace to all of us. We are all recipients of God's grace. God does not favor some over others. But in the demonstration of God's grace, that has been demonstrated in two ways. First of all, Jesus' sacrifice, but also in gifts that He has bestowed upon those who put Jesus on. Among Christians, our gifts, our talents, our abilities differ from person to person. But here's the thing, we all have one. We've all been gifted. We have all been bestowed and charged by God with something unique to each one of us. And so the thing that's awesome about that is we are all in this together, but we are each special in our own way. Nobody's better than anybody else, but each of us is special. Each of us is unique. If you want to, you can turn back to Romans chapter 12. Paul writes about similar things. And to be honest with you, we usually go to Romans chapter 12 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when we talk about this kind of stuff, about how we all have been given different talents, different abilities, how we are one body with different members. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. There Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We've got different gifts, all by God's grace. You turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4. There Paul writes this, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And he keeps on going by saying, all these people in their different ways have been gifted and talented to do their own things. Now in the church in Corinth, there was a miraculous component to some of those things. I realize that. But when you read 1 Peter chapter 4, the kinds of gifts he's going to talk about there, there's nothing miraculous about those. But he says this, you are a steward of the talents and the abilities that God has given you. What's a steward? It's somebody in charge of something that's not their own. A word that we use more commonly today is manager. You especially think about a business manager. You go to a shop or a restaurant, and it's obvious usually who the manager is. The manager doesn't own the restaurant or the store, but he or she has been put in charge of taking care of something that is not his or her own and making the most of that thing, of that entity. That's who each one of us are. We're managers, we're stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And in each of the passages it says this, use what God has given you. Use your talent. Use your ability. Because it's God who gave it to you. To serve one another. To be blunt with you, in 21st century America, there's a lot of people who want to be Christians, but they don't want to use the stewardship of their service within the Lord's church. I'm here, serve me, or I'm here, I'm just an attendee. I'm here, I'm a member. You're a steward. God's given you something to bless every person around your church family. Those of you who are visiting with us, we got a lot of visitors today. Back in your church home, wherever that might be, God expects you to use your gift, your talent, your ability to be a blessing to those around you within the church and through the church. I also believe that this goes beyond just our church walls and our fellowship when we come together. Us being a blessing and users of our stewardship within the community to bless those around us, to show others that God is working in us and through us for, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 12, the common good. To serve one another. Some people might think, well, that's not fair. Why are there all these expectations? Listen, it's not me, and it's not the elders. It's God. He has given us something. You think about three stewards in Matthew chapter 25. There's this master who has abundant wealth, big piece of property. He goes to three of his stewards and says, I'm going to leave you some talents. I'm going to go away for a while. And when I come back, I want to see how you've used those talents. We know how the story goes. The one that had five, the one that had two, they used them. And as they used them, guess what? They grew. They had more that they could use. But there was this one who thought it just wasn't fair. He knew that he had a master who expected something of him. So he hid and buried that talent. You know how the rest of the story goes. That story wasn't just told to be a nice piece of scripture for us to quote and talk about. It's for us to learn from and live from. So that as we look at our abilities and talents, we bless by using what God has given us. And they come from Him. And maybe some of us, our relationship with God is not what it should be because we haven't been using the things that He's entrusted to us. I believe when we use our stewardship of service to God's glory, we will be able to see with clear eyes God's glory because it's working in our lives. Each one of us has been given a stewardship. Each one of us has been given something special. And that brings us to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, and our third point. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter here in closing out this section of Scripture says, we each have a special service. We each have something unique to us that not everybody else has that can be used to serve one another, to bring glory and honor to God. Now, I mentioned Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. You look at those passages, and there are more detailed, longer list of different ways that people can serve. Peter really just gives two different ways. He talks about whoever speaks and whoever serves. The way that I would paraphrase that is talking about service of the lips and service of the hands. Some of us are especially gifted in ways that we can use our lips, use our words in ways to bless one another. I want to mention a scriptural pet peeve of mine. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 has often, for a long time, just been applied to preachers. Whoever speaks is one who speaks as oracles of God. Well, that is certainly a truth that should be applied to preachers, isn't it? When I get up here and speak, I need to make sure that I'm speaking not on Blaine's behalf, not Blaine's opinion, but as if God is speaking through me, that I am speaking with the authority of God's Word. Whoever speaks, speaks as the oracles of God. So it does apply to preachers, but it doesn't apply just to preachers. Because the context of this passage is not preachers, not written to preachers. It's written to all Christians. And so that means that there are gifts beyond just preaching in which I can use my lips, use my words to speak God's oracles. I can be an encourager. And when I am using my words as encouragement, I need to make sure I'm doing it as the Lord would have me do it. I'm thoughtful, I'm considerate, I'm careful. I can be a mentor. You know, that's something in the church that's often missing too, where somebody who's more experienced, whether by age or spiritual maturity, and takes somebody under their wing and says, you know what, I want to help bring you along spiritually. I want to be your friend. I want to help you grow. I want to be your brother. I want to be your sister. But as mentors, when we speak, how should we speak to those we're helping? As the oracles of God, as the utterances of God, that God is speaking through us, that we're helping people become like Jesus. Not like me, but like Jesus. Bible class teachers, when we speak, what should we be speaking? God's oracles, the things that He would have us to speak. Christian brothers and sisters, when we speak to one another, how should we speak? We should use the words that God would have us to use. Words that bless. Words that benefit. Words that help us to be more spiritual and less carnal, less worldly. Whoever speaks, if your talent is especially in a category that involves using your lips, using your words, make sure you're using the right ones. But now whoever serves, the next part, what's he say? Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Just as the one who speaks needs to speak the oracles of God, the one who serves needs to use God's strength that's supplied. It's not just my own willpower that should sustain me spiritually. It's knowing that I have a stewardship. I have something that's been entrusted to me. And sometimes when I realize that I have that responsibility, you know what it does? It pushes me to do more than I normally would. I know Tom and Josh and I felt that way this past week. Tonight I'll tell you all the stuff that we did, but we did quite a bit of work in a short amount of time. I won't speak for them, I'll speak for me. I promise you that if I would have been working for myself on Tuesday and Wednesday, I would have stopped a lot earlier in the day because it was hot and I was tired. But I saw Eddie Payne and I saw the brothers and sisters at Port Allen and I saw people who are still a long ways away from just rebuilding. And they're working, and they're working, and they were working. Now I can tell you this, when it comes to talents, I am not talented with my hands. Ryan Whitelaw knows that. Occasionally I've tried to help him, and I'm sure he can make fun of me all day long about what I don't know, about stuff to do around the house. But you know what? I can haul trash. I can mow a lawn. I can do what I'm able to do to serve other people. And even when I'm tired, if I'm doing on behalf of the Lord, He supplies a strength that goes beyond my own willpower. See, the good news about when you use the special gift and the special talent you have been given, it is God who sees you through it. Do we really believe what Scripture says, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies? Do you believe that God can supply you the strength to fulfill the talent that He has given you? Of course He can. He gave you your talent because He knows you can do it. He made you uniquely the way you are because you have a special way to serve. Serve within the church, and to serve beyond the borders of God's kingdom so that we can reach others for His behalf. Why? Why? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about me bringing glory and honor to myself. It's not about us just saying, look how good Morristown Church of Christ is. Saying, look how good our Lord and Savior, God the Father and God the Spirit are. It's about bringing glory and honor to them. That's why we serve. And when we struggle with a mindset of service, maybe we need to remember it's not about ourselves. It's about Him. This past week while I was in Louisiana, this letter came in the mail here at the church building. I've bragged about this group of people in the past, but it's probably been a while since I've said anything about them. But you'll know who I'm talking about as soon as I read this letter. It says, "Dearest friends, please accept this very small token." There was a check included in this letter. It says, "Please accept this very small token of gratitude for my affection to the lovely ladies who sewed together a most special pillow I received while in Morristown Hamblin Hospital for a recent surgery. It was especially appreciated at that time. I have added it to a distinctive place in my home as I know it was made by hand and issued to me with the same loving kindness that our Christ freely gives His children with no expectation in return. I humbly and simply wish to pay this forward to allow these kind ladies to continue to make more gifts for others who may be in the same place. Thank you so very much for your time today." That's pretty neat, isn't it? Through our pillow ministry. By the way, she mentions the ladies. There's a few men who are involved with that as well. Behind the scenes, sometimes we don't talk about, maybe we should proclaim it a little bit more, but people who are able to use skills and talents of their hands just to give in some ways a simple, small blessing to people while they're in the hospital. This woman who was so touched, she wrote us a letter and she recognized that we do this because of our Lord. I think that's some of what Peter has in mind in 1 Peter 4:11. That when we do what we do, it's for the Lord's glory and honor. Listen, if we did it just for ourselves, there's a lot of things we should have quit a long time ago. But it's for the Lord. That's why we do it, and that's why He has gifted us. As we close, I just want to ask ourselves three questions based on this passage and based on what we've said this morning. First of all, are each one of us fulfilling the everyday service of loving one another, showing hospitality, and using our gifts to serve one another? Each one of us, we each have a shared service of love, of forgiveness, of hospitality, and of serving. In the context of our church here, and those of you who are visiting, in your church homes, are we using ourselves in that shared service? Secondly, I want to ask you this. What is your special talent or gift that God has entrusted to you? What is it? Answer that for yourself. Every one of us, don't say I don't have one. Every one of us have something special God has given us. You need to know what yours is. I need to know what mine is. And then the final question is, am I using it? Am I using that special gift, that special talent, to bless others and to glorify God? And if not, why not? Next week we'll talk about maybe some ways in which we as the church can better utilize one another's gifts and talents for God's glory and honor. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 8 through 11, that's written for every Christian. If you're not a Christian, I need to be honest with you about something. When you come to Christ, there's going to be some expectations of you. And one of those is that you serve, and that you practice love, and that you practice forgiveness. You might think, well, that's hard. I don't know if I can do that. Well, let me tell you this. Our Lord and Savior practiced those things for us. He made Himself a servant. He demonstrated the ultimate love, and He showed the ultimate forgiveness. Because we all needed it, and we're all sinners. And yes, when we come to Him to receive forgiveness of sin, make our confession, and put Him on in baptism, when we come up, we have a new life. Part of that new life is a life of service. But I promise you this, if you give yourself to it, you will be blessed in ways you would never previously have imagined. But that's what you were made for. That's what you've been called to. And this morning we invite you, if you've never put on Jesus, or if you haven't been following Him as you need to, for those of us who are Christians, to respond this morning by either taking one of these front pews or maybe after worship, meeting with an elder in our library. Whatever your need is of our Savior today, please come forward while we stand.